This episode of To Your Good Health Radio is brought to you by Organifi. For years, I've been looking for a whole food, plant-based protein meal enhancement product with organic greens and fruits. One that tastes great and doesn't contain any artificial chemicals or sweeteners. I'm thrilled to tell you, my search has finally ended thanks to Organifi. These guys don't cut corners, folks. Their products offer select whole foods, natural vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and MCT oils, which give you healthy fats that will keep you feeling full longer. Most people don't eat the recommended 5 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables per day. Organifi can help you fill that void. Just add a scoop to water, apple juice, or almond milk, shake, and that's it. Easy, convenient, and mess-free. And their products taste amazing. Organifi is your source for organic plant-based products from whole food sources. Visit Organifi.com, that's Organifi.com, and type in promo code GOODHEALTH to receive 20% off your order. That's Organifi.com, promo code GOODHEALTH. Hello, I'm Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Approximately 6 million Americans have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. The annual cost of dementia and Alzheimer's care and research in the U.S. is $215 billion, more than is spent on cancer and heart disease. In spite of this, there's still no significant cures for dementia or Alzheimer's. Joining us today is Dr. Stephen Masley, author of The Better Brain Solution. He will share the latest cutting-edge information on how memory loss is preventable. Don't go away. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a physician, nutritionist, trained chef, author, and creator of the number one all-time health program for public health, 30 Days to a Younger Heart. His research focuses on the impact of lifestyle choices on heart health, brain function, and aging. His work has been viewed by millions on PBS, the Discovery Channel, and Today Show, and in over 500 media interviews. His latest book is called The Better Brain Solution. Welcome to the show, Dr. Stephen Masley.
I'm delighted to be with you.
Oh, it's so great to have you with us today. Such an important topic. I read your book, and I have to say, you share some fascinating information. You covered several myths regarding memory loss and Alzheimer's disease, and one thing that you debunk is it only happens to old people, but it can actually happen to people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. Share with the listeners what causes premature memory loss.
Well, the number one cause we see today is because people's blood sugar is out of balance. They might eat too many refined carbs, they don't exercise enough, and next thing you know, even younger people, 30, 40, 50s, as you just said, they have brain fog. They feel forgetful. They forget names. They have to reread a passage in a book. They walk into a room and they don't know why they're there. So I think we're seeing this younger and younger as we're injuring our brains, especially, I think, the number one cause is from abnormal blood sugar regulation, something we call insulin resistance.
Got it. So insulin resistance, so that plays a major role. So give us an idea of what's the primary culprit and what are people, you know, what can they do to decrease that?
Well, the primary culprit is, let me give you an example. When people eat too much bread and pasta and rice and sugar and sweets, okay, insulin's the hormone that tells your cells to store energy. But eventually, if you keep eating all these refined carbs and you're not active enough, your cells fill up, there's no more energy they can store, and so they stop listening. And when they stop listening, they become resistant. The problem is brain cells, they don't have a storage of sugar out there. If they can't get it, you know, blood sugar from the blood into the cell, they become dysfunctional and they die. So we're seeing, it's a third of all adults and 50% of all baby boomers have insulin resistance and have decreased brain performance. Their brains are literally malfunctioning, and they're setting themselves up for premature memory loss.
Got it. But if they act now, it's not permanent. That can be reversed?
Well, absolutely. We have hundreds of people in our clinic who've improved their brain performance, and we've published, we've done randomized trials. We know an average person can improve their brain processing speed, their right brain function, by 25%. We've published that their attention goes up by 40%. So if you take the right steps and you do the right things, you can really improve your brain function starting immediately, and you can help prevent memory loss.
Well, I know with the exception of forgetting the occasional name or fact, you also debunked the myth that memory loss is a normal part of aging. Why does society consider this a normal phase of getting old?
Well, it's just so common. I mean, we could say heart attacks and strokes are a normal part of aging, too, because we see them so often. But the truth is, we can prevent 90% of all heart attacks and strokes. And we can probably prevent between 60 to 80% of all the memory loss we're seeing today. So you mentioned this is like the number one most expensive disease in America today. More than cancer, more than heart disease, memory loss is awful. You know, so it's increasing rapidly. I think one of the reasons it's so scary is the rate of memory loss in Alzheimer's disease is going to increase. It's going to double in just the next 12 Jeez. To 15 years.
Oh, that's crazy. And, you know, of all the diseases we cover, I personally think brain loss is the worst because the brain stores the memories that define us, who we are, our family, what we did 20 years ago. When that goes, pretty much we're not really living.
Well, I completely agree with you. I mean, it's scary because we lose our identity, who we are. But you know what's even worse is because when we have memory loss, we become a burden on the people we love. So the people who love us and care about us, they end up suffering more than we do, and nobody
True.
Wants that. That's why it's so important. We got to stop this. I mean, and not only can we stop memory loss, but who doesn't want a better brain? Don't people want to know what steps they need to take to improve their brain function? I would hope everyone would.
They do. You know, I had an elderly patient come in last week, and he told me that he used to have a photographic memory. He just ran out of film. What are some steps that people can take to improve their brain function? I've heard crossword puzzles help. Is that stuff like that help or keep your mind active?
I think that's a good point. You know, both physical, like exercise, like jogging or walking, and mental exercises like doing crosswords and Sudoku and playing chess and learning a new language, all those helps. I've really identified five key steps. Uh-huh. One is to add the right foods that boost brain function. Two is to make sure you get the key nutrient, the essential nutrients that we can't live without for our brain. Three is activity, like you just said, both physical activity as well as mental activities. Four is stress reduction. And the fifth step is there's brain toxins we want to avoid. So avoiding specific brain toxins that injure the brain.
And when you say toxins, do you mean in our food or exposed to chemicals and other means?
Well, tobacco would be one example. I mean, see, it's really bad for our brains. But right. There's several toxins in foods. Like there's nitrosamines, the stuff those chemicals, nitrates they sprinkle on sandwich meats and deli meats and hot dogs and bacon to extend their shelf life. But who knew? Well, maybe they did know. I'm hoping they didn't know when they designed these. But they damage insulin regulation, and they're neurotoxic. They injure the brain. So when we give these to lab animals, they become diabetic and they get Alzheimer's disease. So, and we're seeing this in humans now. So that's a major one. Pesticide, you know, so beyond nitrosamines, others, you know, really common are pesticides. People have a 500% greater risk of getting Alzheimer's disease if they have very high pesticide levels compared to low. So, I mean, there's clearly things out there that are harmful to the brain. Mercury would be, let me give you one last one. Mercury, right. Which you get like from tuna and grouper and swordfish, big mouth fish, when you have high mercury, it injures the brain. So we don't want to eat that type of fish. We want to be eating more things like wild salmon and trout and mussels and oysters that have really low mercury levels instead.
Right, but you do recommend fish as top of your list. Is that still considered the brain food like it's always been?
I would, I definitely put it, I think almost all the studies, if you eat more, especially cold water fatty fish, wild salmon, sardines, sole, trout, clearly that's associated with protecting the brain. And, you know, if you don't like those, you know, if you're vegetarian, you know, you could take a seaweed supplement with DHA, you know, these long chain omega-3s instead. So, yes, of the top five foods, I definitely have to put these fish oil, long-chain omega-3 sources in there.
Got it. And when you mentioned toxins, one comes to mind that's kind of known that for years that it's associated with dementia and Alzheimer's disease, aluminum. Is that still on the list? Is, you know, deodorants or pots and pans lined or cans?
I don't think that's been. I avoid aluminum pans and I avoid aluminum deodorant, but I don't have any conclusion. You know, I think the proof for nitrosamines or pesticides is much more solid. You know, so I'm actively on a personal level. I try to avoid aluminum, but I can't see any solid studies that say we should really. It's causing memory loss out there. I'm concerned about it, but I don't. I think there's much more evidence for mercury, nitrosamines, and pesticides than there is for aluminum.
Yeah, I'd never seen any studies either, but for decades I've always heard aluminum, so I figured I'd ask you. So stay away just to be cautious, but nothing really out there is a big warning. So that makes sense.
Correct.
Tell us about dietary supplements. Are there any that you recommend that could help protect the brain or improve our memory?
That's a really good question. You know, so when we think about what things are like slam dunks, it would be crazy to be low on them. Let me give you a short list. So number one would probably be vitamin D. We know when your vitamin D levels are low, it's bad for many things, cancer, heart disease, bone loss, but yes, memory loss too. So people need to get, you know, like at least 2,000 international units of vitamin D every day. Another really one is vitamin B12. Very common people are deficient today in vitamin B12, especially if they're using heartburn medications. And, you know, so we're seeing this more and more. And if your B12 levels are low, you get a permanent, irreversible neurologic harm with, like, peripheral neuropathy, burning in your legs, and memory loss. It's awful. So make sure you get enough B12. Most people need at least 100 to 500 micrograms a day once we become, you know, middle-aged adults. A few more would be, we mentioned fish oil already. Uh-huh. I think that's an essential one. And what's in a good quality multivitamin would be like adequate 2,000 of vitamin D, mixed folates, not just folic acid, but all the mixed folates. So you have the active forms, your B12, chromium for blood sugar control, magnesium. I think that's one of the most common important deficiencies in America today. And you need magnesium for the synaptic junctions in your brain, those interconnections in the brain. So it's so important to get magnesium. And lastly, if I beyond vitamin D, fish oil, a good quality multi-magnesium, I'd have to throw in a probiotic. That supporting our gut is really important for our brain. I mean, there's other ones out there if you want to go into more detail, but those would be like my top slam dunk. Absolutely don't miss these.
Top one. Your opinion on B12, can people take that in tablets, or do you recommend the sublingual or the liquid to absorb better, or is it not
well, there is absorption issues, but a lot of these better quality multivitamins, you know, so the RDA is like 2, and a lot of supplements have 10. If you're only getting 10, half of older adults aren't going to absorb it after age 50.
Right.
And certainly you're not going to absorb that little amount if it's, you know, if you're taking heartburn medicines. So then, but if you're getting 100, 500, 1,000 micrograms a day, it's super safe, and you don't need to spend, I don't think you need to spend extra for sublingual, but if you're doing lower doses, sublingual is the only way you know you're going to actually absorb it.
Got it. So it's packing more of a punch than you need, which doesn't matter because a lot of it you're not absorbing, but what you get is going to help. So that makes
sense. One way or another, either a sublingual source would be smart, or make sure the source you're getting has a bigger dose. So you don't have to worry about the absorption, because with a big dose, it just floats right across and we'll get plenty.
That makes sense. That's a great list. I hope our listeners took some notes. Let me ask you, what about stress? How much does that contribute to an unhealthy brain?
Well, stress can have a big impact on our brains. I mean, people who are chronically stressed, their cortisol levels go up, and cortisol shrinks the memory center of the brain. So I like people to have, you know, like stress that, you know, like a project or something they accomplish, you know, those short-term stresses that, you know, we need purpose and challenge. But if we're not managing our stress and it's overwhelming and it causes hormonal imbalance, like with high cortisol and low DHEA, that shrinks the brain. That's awful. And it's really hard to make good choices when you're totally stressed out. So I think it's really hard to avoid stress. I think which is a lot more practical is focus on proactively manage it. You know, like if I had, you know, 3 top tips to manage stress, it'd be work out, get up a sweat, and burn off some tension each day. 2 would be get a good night's sleep. Sleep is so important for stress management. And 3 is schedule at least 10 minutes a day where you're doing, you know, something like meditation or heart math, something that lets those hormone surges calm down for a moment. And even 10 minutes a day can make a really big difference.
Interesting. I know the word stressed spelled backwards is desserts. And a lot of people turn to their best two friends, Ben and Jerry, when they're stressed. And that's something they got to watch out for. I guess sugar would probably be on your list of no-nos.
Sugar's almost on my... Yeah, it's pretty close to calling it a toxin. You know, if you only have sweets once in a while and you're in good health, I don't think it's that big a deal. But so many people now, they're having like cereal for breakfast and a sandwich for lunch and, you know, pretzels for a snack and pasta and rice for dinner. They're loading themselves. These are all sources of sugar. You know, whether it's table sugar or flour, they biochemically act the same. So the more sugar we have, the more damage we cause to our brain.
Which goes right back to insulin resistance, the first thing you covered.
Exactly. Yeah you hit it right on the you hit that nail right on the head.
Yeah.
You know, the number one cause of premature memory loss and decreased brain performance, being more forgetful, having brain fog, being less productive, is too much sugar. That's number one. So if we're going to only do one thing, you know, it would be to cut some of the sugar and refined carbs out of our diet, like bread and cereal and pasta and rice.
Interesting. Yeah, so we bring stress up, but I guess that could lead to something else I want to ask you about with lack of sleep. As we get older, I know we need less sleep, but is there a certain link to sleeping and lack of it to the brain function?
Well, when we're sleep-deprived, it really impacts us hormonally. It does stress us physiologically. Our cortisol goes up and our DHEA drops, and we're not as alert. You know, even as we age, we might be able to get by with less, but most people still need 7 hours of sleep, even when they hit their 60s, 70s, and 80s. Now, they may have to take it. They may not be able to sleep that much all at once. They might take a nap in the afternoon and sleep only 6 hours at night, but one way or another, we need sleep to reset, and we need good quality sleep, you know, like in a dark room where it's cool and it's not noisy and, you know, getting away from all these gadgets, you know, an hour before we go to bed so our brains can calm down. I mean, there's all these tips we're learning on how to improve sleep, but absolutely, sleep is essential, and without it, it's going to injure our brain.
Yeah. What gets your opinion on coffee? I know I've heard it's great for the brain and for health, but I've heard it's a no-no sometimes when it comes to the health of our brain. What's your take on coffee?
Well, I looked at, 50 to 75 published studies on coffee and read through all of these. And I think if you know, the overall thing is, it's like a J-shaped curve. A little bit of coffee every day seems to be clearly better for our brains long-term than none. And too much is way too much. But the difference is each person has a different J point. You know, what's a little bit and what's too much?
Right.
Half of us are fast metabolizers. We handle caffeine pretty well. There's genetic testing you can do out there. And if you're a fast metabolizer, probably 2 or 3 cups of coffee a day. It's the plant pigments. Even decaf is good for our brain. And caffeine helps add some alertness. But when you overdo it, you just get wired and you can't focus. And overdoing it, you know, caffeine, it stimulates our sympathetic system and it ages us prematurely. But so for fast metabolizers, 2 to 3 cups a day. For slow metabolizers, and those people usually know who they are, you know, they drink coffee and they're wired. So for them, probably 1 cup, maximum 1.5 cups in the morning, still has benefit for their heart and their brain. But if they do more than that, it's clearly harmful.
Yeah, and you know, you bring a point. If you do too much coffee, it increases your stress. That means you can't sleep. And then what happens is we crave more junk food, which messes up our insulin resistance. There we are back full circle to what you first brought up.
You summarized that pretty well.
It's an endless loop. You know, we cover the importance of diet, supplements, and stress management. What about a sedentary lifestyle? They say sitting is the new smoking. Does inactivity have a negative effect on the brain?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the data from our clinic, so we've looked at that over 1,000 people, and we analyzed nutrition and fitness and activity and brain performance and artery plaque growth, you know, 100 markers of aging. And we've published this, and we've just turned this in. It's actually getting published this month in the Journal of the American College of Nutrition. And the number one predictor of decreasing brain performance is your fitness level. If you're losing fitness, your brain is underperforming. And there's been several studies in the past that showed that, like, the number one predictor of getting Alzheimer's, that we could change, we could modify with lifestyle, has to do with activity. So, you know, and there's several pathways for this. When we're more active, it improves blood supply to our brain. Well, that's good. But when we're active, we also increase neurotrophic brain factors that help the brain grow. So they've even done studies on 80-year-olds where they took an 80-year-old group. They randomized them to no activity or more activity. Those who are in no activity, their brain shrunk. The memory center of the brain literally shrunk. And those 80-year-olds, I mean, that's getting up there. 80-year-olds, their brain grew if they were more active. So it's really powerful. So the data from my clinic, from public studies, all of that shows being fit makes a difference. And our data definitely from our clinic confirmed that it's both aerobic and strength training. You get benefits from both that are independent. It's not just one or the other. So ideally, you want to get some aerobic activity several days a week, rev up your heart. And a couple days a week, you want to lift weights or do yoga or do elastic bands, something to really stress your muscles as well, because so they're both really important.
Yeah, I would imagine also having the same old routine where the brain's not being synapsed with new input would be an issue. Meaning, you know, as we get older, they eat at the same place, they play the same. On Tuesday, it's bored, and it's the same type of thing. Wouldn't mixing that up a little bit too help that?
Oh, I completely agree with you that we want continuous learning, new activities, new stuff. It rewires your brain. I mean, basically, either our brain is shrinking or it's expanding. It's really hard to keep it the same. And one of the keys, new learning, new activity, change things up. I mean, I agree with you. It's so important. I mean, learn a new language. You know, if you take up chess, practice Sudoku. But when you get good at something, it doesn't help you to continue something you're really good at. It gets easy. So we want to keep learning new stuff all the time. That's kind of the fun of it, really, right?
Really is, yeah. It makes so much sense. In the minute we have left, is there anything else you'd like listeners to know about the Better Brain Solution? Why do they need to get this book?
Well, if this is your chance to improve your brain function, have a better brain, be sharper, less forgetful, more productive. Don't wait, because when you wait, your brain has already shrunk. Take steps now, make a change, and really make a difference.
Such great information. Thanks so much for joining us today. I know you're busy, and we appreciate you taking your time out of your schedule to be with us to share such thoughtful information. And there's the pun there, thoughtful, literally. Appreciate it. To learn more about Dr. Masley and to get his book, The Better Brain Solution, go to drmasley.com. While you're there, check out his very informative blog post. You can follow him on Twitter, at Stephen Masley. For my daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. Stay up to date on all of our latest health and wellness segments at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Share this podcast with friends, family, and coworkers so they too can learn how to improve the health of their most vital organ, the brain. You can also subscribe to our weekly podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.